بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، والصلاة والسلام على رسوله الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. Qatiz Guest Center, a subdivision of the Sheikh Eid bin Muhammad Al Thani Charity Association, is pleased to present to you this series of lectures from the book entitled Minhaj Ahl Sunnah Wal Jama'ah Fil Aqeedah Wal Amal, The Methodology of the People of Sunnah in Matters of Creed and Actions, by a Sheikh Muhammad ibn Salih ibn Uthaymeen rahimahullah. Tape number 2 discuss the following topics: definition and importance of Al-Aqeedah, the Islamic creed. Who are the Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah? The various names they are known by and their methodology in acquisition of the creed. Alhamdulillah. نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. We'd like to begin this morning in our second lecture in the course of Al-Aqeedah Al-Islamiyah, the Islamic creed or the Islamic belief system, taken from the essay of Shaykh Muhammad ibn Salih Al-Uthaymeen Hafidhullah, may Allah protect and preserve him, his essay entitled Minhaj Ahl Sunnah Wal Jama'ah, the Minhaj or the methodology of the Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. And in this essay, which we will discuss further in the coming lecture bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, Shaykh Muhammad Al-Uthaymeen Hafidhullah discusses what is the methodology of the people of Sunnah, the Muslim Ummah who follows the Sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and who stood together as a group without being divided into sects and parties. He discusses the methodology of the people of Sunnah in understanding the deen and in practicing it. In the previous lecture, the introductory lecture, we discussed last week or in the first lecture, the importance of knowledge, the status of the people of knowledge, the sources of al-ulum al-shar'iyya, the Islamic legal sciences, and some of the sayings of the scholars concerning these points. We mentioned in that lecture a number of proofs or evidences which show us the importance of knowledge and the status of the people of knowledge, and from amongst them the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, شاهد الله أنه لا إله إلا هو. Shahid Allahu annahu la ilaha illa huwa, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bears witness that there is nothing which has the right to be worshipped except Him. Wal malaikatu wa ulul ilm qa'iman bil qist. And then he coupled to his testimony the testimony of the malaika, the angels, who also bear witness that He alone deserves to be worshipped, and the testimony of ulul ilm, that is the ulama, the scholars. And this shows the honorable status of the scholars that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has included, along with His own testimony of His exclusive right to be worshipped. He included along with Him the testimony of the angels and the scholars. And also the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, قُلْ هَلْ يَسْتَوِي الَّذِينَ يَعْلَمُونَ وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. Say, are those equal, those who know and those who do not know? And this is a clear indication of the superiority of the people who know over those who do not know. And also we mentioned the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, إِنَّمَا يَخْشَى اللَّهِ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الْعُلَمَاءِ, that verily those ulama, the scholars, that they are the ones who definitely fear Allah. And in fact, the meaning of إِنَّمَا يَخْشَى اللَّهِ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الْعُلَمَاءِ, it means that the ulama, they fear Allah, and they are the only ones who have fear of Allah. يعني according to the extent of the person's knowledge, it will be an indication of the extent of their ability to know the reality of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and therefore have fear of Him. So it is based on one's knowledge, that one is enabled to know Allah and to fear Allah as he should be feared. And also the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam concerning the status of knowledge and the people of knowledge in a long hadith reported by Abu Darda radiallahu anhu in the Sunan of Abu Dawud and At-Tirmidhi ibn Majah and the Sahih ibn Hibban, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Man salaka tariqan yaltamisu fihi ilma, sahhala Allahu lahu tariqan ila al-jannah." That whoever travels a path seeking knowledge, in that path, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make easy for him a path to paradise. وَإِنَّ الْمَلَائِكَ لَتَدْعُوا أَجْنِحَتَهَا لِطَالِبِ الْعِلْمِ رِضَى بِمَا يَسْنَعُ. And that verily the angels lower their wings to the student of knowledge or the seeker of knowledge, being pleased with what the one who seeks knowledge is engaged in. وَإِنَّ الْعَالِمِ لَيَسْتَغْفِرُ لَهُ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ حَتَّى الْحَيْتَانِ فِي الْمَاءِ. And that verily everyone who is in the heavens and who is in the earth seek forgiveness for the alim, the scholar, even the fish in the sea. وَفَضْلِ الْعَالِمِ عَلَى الْعَابِدِ كَفَضْلِ الْقَمْرِ عَلَى السَّائِرِ الْكَوَاكِبِ. And the superiority of the alim, the scholar, over the worshipper, the abid, is as the superiority of the moon, the full moon, over the rest of the stars in the sky. وَإِنَّ الْعُلَمَاءُ وَرَثَةُ الْأَنْبِيَاءُ وَإِنَّ الْأَنْبِيَاءُ لَمْ يُوَرِّثُوا دِنَارًا وَلَا دِرْحَمًا وَإِنَّمَا وَرَّثُوا الْعِلْمِ. And verily the ulama, the scholars, are the inheritors of the prophets. And verily the prophets don't leave as inheritance money or wealth, dinar or dirham. وَإِنَّمَا وَرَّثُوا الْعِلْمِ. But verily that which they left as inheritance is knowledge. فَمَنْ أَخَذَهُ أَخَذَ بِحَظٍ وَافِرٍ. For whoever has taken this knowledge, the inheritance of the Anbiya, whoever have taken it, then they have indeed taken something, yani a great portion of that which is good from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This morning, after this brief review of the importance of knowledge and the status of the people of knowledge, we would like to go to a number of points which are also introductory remarks for this course of Al-Aqeedah Al-Islamiyya based on the essay Shaykh Muhammad ibn Salih Al-Taymin, the methodology or the minhaj of the Ahl Sunnah Wal Jama'ah. In this introductory lecture number 2, we would like to discuss briefly 5 points. The first of them, Al-Aqeedah. What is the meaning of the word or the expression or the term Al-Aqeedah? Also, what is the importance of the study of Aqeedah? And who are the Ahl Sunnah Wal Jama'ah? When we say the methodology or the way of the Ahl Sunnah Wal Jama'ah, who are the Ahl Sunnah Wal Jama'ah? And what are some of the other names that they are referred to by? And finally, point number 4 and number 5, we would like to discuss briefly the minhaj or the methodology of the Ahl Sunnah Wal Jama'ah in the acquisition or the derivation of the Aqeedah. What was their methodology in taking the Aqeedah? From where did they take it and how did they view the Islamic beliefs? And finally, some of the primary or distinguishing characteristics of the Ahl Sunnah Wal Jama'ah. These are the points, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, that we would like to discuss this morning. The first point, the introduction to the word Al-Aqeedah. What is the meaning of Al-Aqeedah linguistically as well as in the technical terminology of the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Linguistically, the word Aqeedah, it is from the word Aqada. Aqada, it means to knot or to bind, to fasten tightly, to fortify, consolidate, and cement. Yani it means to tie something, to bind it, or to fasten it tightly. Al-Aqeedah is from the word Aqada. Linguistically, it means to tie something, or to fasten, or to bind, or to consolidate. Technically, istilahan, the technical meaning of Al-Aqeedah in the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it means a firm, unwavering belief. A firm, unwavering belief which in no way which is in no way open to doubt in the mind and the heart of the one who holds this conviction. Yani it is a conviction or a belief that is firm, tied, fastened, fortified, cemented. And it is in no way open to doubt in the mind or in the heart of the believer who holds this conviction or this aqidah. Therefore, the Islamic aqidah or creed refers to a firm, unwavering faith or iman in the following primary or fundamental points. The first of them, to have belief or iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and what is due to him of tawheed in one's belief, worship and obedience to him. Ya'ani believing in Allah that he has the exclusive right to be worshipped and to be obeyed and whatever else is included in the tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala of the different types. Number two, belief in the angels whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created from light and that their functions are many and the description of these angels and their names and their functions perhaps we will discuss in the end of this course. Also, the scriptures or divine revelations that were revealed to the prophets and messengers who were sent to every nation from the first of the prophets, Adam alayhi salam, and the first of the messengers, Nuh alayhi salam, until the last of the prophets and messengers, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Also, belief in the prophets and messengers, the prophets and messengers were sent to every nation throughout time, and the last of them is Muhammad, the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the seal of the prophets. Also, the belief in the last day, the day of judgment or the day of resurrection, and belief in the divine decree, al-qadr wal-qadha, the belief in the divine decree, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed things based on his knowledge of everything, and that he brings those things into existence as he decreed them to be, not excluding the fact that the human beings have been given free will, after knowing what is right and wrong, to choose what they will do, and therefore they are responsible for their actions in this world. And finally, of the important things that we may also include as part of those things that we should have an unwavering conviction in, yani the part of the Islamic aqidah also, is whatever has been confirmed of the matters of the unseen, the reports of the previous nations, what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam have informed us of what happened of the previous nations of the past, as well as those things that he informed us of by revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what will happen in the future. This is the meaning of al-aqidah. Linguistically, it means to fasten or tighten or bind, consolidate or cement. Technically, it means the unwavering, firm belief which doesn't allow any doubt in the heart or the mind of the one who holds that conviction. And it includes belief in Allah, the angels, the scriptures, the messengers, the last day, the divine decree, and other matters of the unseen, of the previous nations, as well as of the future. Who are the Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, and why are they called by this name? And what are some of the names of the Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah? Perhaps this term, Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, may be known to some of us, and to others it may be a new terminology. Yani new meaning something that we didn't know before. Though this terminology is founded or based, it is based upon the teachings of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam indicating the importance of these two characteristics, the characteristic of as-sunnah and the characteristic of al-jama'ah. The Ahl Sunnah wal-Jama'ah are all those who are upon that which the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companions were upon. All of those who are following the way of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companions, they are the Ahlu as-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah. And whoever follows the practices, the manners, the character, holds the beliefs and worships Allah in the way that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companions worshipped Allah, then these are who we mean when we say the Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. All other groups who deviated from the beliefs or the practices or the manners of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are not included in the Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. And the primary and foremost and yani the most obvious group which it should not be included in Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah are the Shia, who oppose the way of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and oppose his companions radiallahu anhum ajma'in. The Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah are named Ahl Sunnah due to their adherence to and following of the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yani, they are named Ahl Sunnah because they are the people who adhere to the Sunnah or the way of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As-Sunnah means the tariqah or the way. So the way of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the people who follow that way are called Ahlu As-Sunnah, the people of Sunnah. They are named the Jama'ah, Al-Jama'ah group, because they are those who have gathered upon the truth. They have collected themselves and united themselves based on Al-Haq, the truth, and have not divided into sects or parties in the religion among themselves. Yani, they stuck together as one group, therefore they are called Al-Jama'ah. And the first Jama'ah is the Jama'ah, or the congregation, or the group of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as-sahaba radiallahu anhum ajma'in. They are the first Jama'ah. And whoever follows their way in sticking to the Sunnah and sticking together and uniting themselves on the truth, they are also referred to by this name, Al-Jama'ah, because they unite themselves based on the truth and are not divided into sects. They have collected themselves or gathered themselves around the lawful rulers of the Muslims and have not revolted against them. And they have followed that which the Salaf, the early or the first generation of the Muslims, have unanimously agreed upon. They followed the way of the first generation of the Muslims, As-Salaf As-Salih, or the righteous predecessors, which refers to the companions and their students, the Tabi'un, and their students, the Atba' al-Tabi'un, and whoever, or Atba' al-Tabi'een, and whoever followed in their way of the later generations, following their beliefs as well as their manners and their worship. Since these people are alone to the exclusion of others, they are the followers of the Sunnah in the real sense of the way of following. They are the followers of the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, adhering to his path and sticking to it. They are also known as Ahlu al-Ittiba'. Al-Ittiba' means those who follow strictly. So the Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah, because they strictly follow the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they are also known by this name, Al-Ittiba'. Ahlu al-Ittiba' means those who follow strictly. And they are in this world referred to as the victorious group, Al-Ta'ifa al-Mansura. The victorious group, who would be victorious in this world by the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and in the hereafter they are referred to as the saved sect or the saved group, Al-Firqa al-Najiyah. Yani, those who would be saved from the fire, the saved sect. As the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that the Jews were divided into 71 sects, the Christians into 72, and the Muslims, he said, my ummah would be divided into 73, all of them would be in the hellfire except one. And when they said, who is that one? He said, the one who is upon that which I and my companions are upon. He said, Al-Jama'ah. The Jama'ah, in another narration, they asked him, who is the Jama'ah? Yani, the saved sect, the ones who will be saved from the fire. He said, ma ana alayhi al-yawm wa ashabi. That which I and my companions are following today, whoever follows that way, they are the Jama'ah, and that Jama'ah is the one group from amongst the Muslim Ummah that would be spared or saved from the fire. Though the other Muslims who may have deviated on some points or another, they might be punished by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the fire, but if they died believing in Allah alone, even with mistakes or sins or yani some error, they would still be taken out of the fire. But the saved sect, Al-Firqa al-Najiyah, refers to those who followed the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam strictly in their lifetime, and therefore in the next life they would be saved from the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The next point that we want to discuss after this brief introduction or definition of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah and what are some of the names of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah, it is very important to know what is the manner or the way or the methodology that is used by the Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah in achieving or in acquiring or in deriving the matters of Aqidah, and their istidlal, or the way that they seek proofs or evidences for the matters of belief, creed, aqidah. What is the methodology that is employed by Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah in seeking the knowledge of aqidah and the proofs, the manner of proofs and evidence in matters of aqidah? The points which we have mentioned here are perhaps the most important fundamental points of the methodology employed by Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah in the acquisition of matters of Aqeedah, and these points need to be understood well. The first of them is that the source upon which the creed is based, the source upon which the Aqeedah is based, is strictly or is restricted to the Book of Allah, Al-Qur'an, and the authentic Sahih Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as well as the ijma' or consensus of the righteous predecessors, the early generations of the Muslims, as Salaf as-Salih. That means the source upon which our creed, our aqeedah is based, it should be the Book of Allah, Al-Quran, the authentic Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the ijma' or that which there's consensus or agreement upon from the first generations of the Muslims, the Sahaba, the Tabi'un, and those who followed in their way. The proofs of this are many. From amongst them is the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَطِيعُوا اللَّهَ وَأَطِيعُوا الرَّسُولَ وَأُولِي الْأَمْرِ مِنْكُمْ. O you who believe, obey Allah and obey the Messenger and those in authority from amongst you. This makes us to know, as many ayahs in the Quran refer to obedience to Allah and obedience to the Messenger of Allah, and as for those in authority from amongst us, it is their authority or their right to be obeyed is based on their following the instructions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So these three are the primary sources, the Quran, the Sunnah, and the Ijma'ah, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reported an authentic hadith in the Sunnah of Abu Dawud and the Sunnah of At-Tirmidhi on the authority of Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma. He's saying, إِنَّ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى لَا يَجْمَعْ أُمَّتِي عَلَى الضَّلَالَ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, verily Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would not allow my ummah, or would not cause my ummah to reach a consensus or agreement upon that which is astray, or that which is error. لَا يَجْمَعْ أُمَّتِي عَلَى الضَّلَالَ. Therefore, we understand from this hadith of the Prophet ﷺ that if the Muslim Ummah has reached a consensus upon any matter, then we are sure that it will not be error or astray, it will not be dalala. Therefore, the ijma' or consensus of the Muslim scholars, first and foremost from amongst Sahaba and those who followed in their way, that ijma' is also a source of our belief or creed or aqidah. Briefly, the second point is related to the Sunnah, and it is that we are required to accept the authentic Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, no matter what way it came to us. If it came to us by a single chain of narratives, which is called Ahadith Ahad, or if it came to us through many chains of narratives called Mutawatir, in any case, any hadith that came to us through one chain or many chains, if the chain of narrators or reporters of that hadith is correct, is reliable, is authentic, then we are required, we are obligated to accept it and to take our beliefs as well as our practices from that instruction or example of the Prophet ﷺ found in that hadith. The details of the difference between mutawatir hadith and ahad hadith are extensive, but just briefly we can say that a hadith is mutawatir, and some of the people who deviated said that we don't take aqidah except from mutawatir hadith. But we say that if it's mutawatir, or even if it's not mutawatir, if it's ahad hadith, if it is sahih or authentic, we still accept it. And mutawatir hadith means those hadith which are reported by a large number of narrators, such that under normal circumstances it would be impossible for them to have agreed upon a lie. This is a mutawatir hadith. The second condition for mutawatir hadith is that that large number of narrators or reporters who reported that hadith, that number should exist throughout the chain of narrators, yani from the first generations until the last. Number three, that the report is based on something heard or seen, etc. And number four, that the narration, the report, the hadith, necessitates or requires knowledge by he who hears it. Yani, that we are required to believe in what we hear when we heard that hadith that has been reported by mutawatir narration. This technical definition of mutawatir, or the condition of mutawatir hadith, is not so important at this stage, but the important thing to keep in mind is that the hadith which came to us by mutawatir, many chains, or ahad, one chain, All of them, if it is sahih, we are required to accept it in matters of aqidah. The third point is that the point of reference for understanding the Qur'an and the Sunnah are those texts that clarify the meaning. Yani, we understand the Qur'an and the Sunnah through other ayats of Qur'an or other hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, which bring clarity to that which may not be perfectly clear. So if we are unsure about an ayat, a verse of Qur'an or hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, we will first look to the other ayats of Qur'an and other hadith of the Prophet ﷺ to find clarity. We will also look to the understanding of the first generation of the Muslims, that is the Sahaba and those who followed them. And the proofs of this are many. From amongst those proofs is the saying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَمَنْ شَاكِرْ رَسُولُ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا تَبَيَّنَ لَهُ الْهُدَىٰ وَيَتَّبِعْ غَيْرَ سَبِيلِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ نُوَلِّهِ مَا تَوَلَّى وَنُسْلِهِ جَهَنَّمْ وَسَاءَتْ مَصِيرًا. That whoever opposes the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam after the guidance has been made clear to them, وَيَتَّبِعْ غَيْرَ سَبِيلِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ, and follows other than the way of the believers, then we will turn that person to that which they turn themselves and cause them to enter the hellfire, and evil is it as a destination. This ayah from the Quran, from Surah An-Nisa, chapter 4, verse 115, makes us to know that whoever opposes the way of the Messenger, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after the guidance has become clear to them, and whoever follows other than the way of the believers, غَيْرَ سَبِيلِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ, other than the way of the Sahaba, because they are the first believers and they were the believers who were referred to when the ayah was revealed. Whoever follows other than their way, then that person would be punished in the hellfire. Therefore, from this ayah we know that we should follow the way of Sahaba, especially in the verses of Quran or Hadith, which may not be clear to us. We will follow the understanding of the Sahaba and their students and those who came after them following in their way. Another proof of this is the saying of the Prophet ﷺ, this report in Al-Bukhari and Muslim, on the authority of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu. The Prophet ﷺ said, خَيْرُ النَّاسِ قَرْنِي, that the best of all humanity are my generation, meaning the Sahaba, the companions, radiallahu anhum ajma'in, ثَمَّ الَّذِينَ يَلُونَهُمْ ثَمَّ الَّذِينَ يَلُونَهُمْ. The best of mankind, the best of humanity is my generation, that is the companions, Sahaba, then those who followed them, and then those who followed them. Meaning that the best of all humanity are the companions, and then the generation who followed them, the tabi'un, and then the generation who followed them, the Atba' Tabi'in. So that the understanding of Sahaba, they are confirmed as being the best of people, and therefore they have more right that their understanding of the Qur'an and the Sunnah, being the students of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companions, has more right that we should follow it than to follow some other way. The next point is that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or before that, also this, yani, understanding of from the Qur'an or from the Sunnah or the understanding of Sahaba has precedence over that which might be understood from the Arabic language or the language of the Arabs. The language of the Arabs is a source of understanding, but if it contradicts anything from the Qur'an or Sunnah understanding of Sahaba, then it is to be rejected. Yani, we will not allow linguistic meanings from the Arabic language to be a contradiction to that which is understood by the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So we follow, or we can take understanding from the Arabic language, but after that which is clear in the Quran and the Sunnah, or the understanding of the companions and the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The fourth point is that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has explained all the fundamentals of the Deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He has explained all of the essential aspects of the Deen. It is therefore not permissible, it is not allowed, it is forbidden for anyone to innovate or to bring something new into the Deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, claiming that his innovation is a part of Islam or that his innovation is something good. The proofs of this are many. And from amongst the proofs of this is the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the hadith reported in the Sunan Abu Dawud in the authority of Irbat ibn Sariya radiallahu anhu, and that hadith is sahih. In that hadith he mentions part of the hadith, innahu may ya'ish minkum fasayara ikhtilafan kathira, that whoever of you lives long, then you will see many differences, many conflicts and differences amongst the people. So what should we do if we live in that time when the people are differing and there's more difference among the people than the time we are living in today? He said, عليكم بسنتي وسنتي الخلفاء الراشدين المهديين عضوا عليها بالنواجذ. That if you are in the time when the people are differing, then stick, it is obligatory on you to stick to my sunnah and the sunnah of the Khulafa al-Rashideen, the rightly guided khalifas. Hold on to it tightly, like with your molar teeth. Yani stick to it and hold on to it tightly. Also, a proof against anyone who says that they are bringing something into the religion that is a part of it, or that it is good, though it was not found in the Quran or the Sunnah or amongst the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, الْيَوْمَ أَكْمَلْتُ لَكُمْ دِينَكُمْ وَأَتْمَمْتُ عَلَيْكُمْ نِعْمَتِي وَرَضِيتُ لَكُمْ الْإِسْلَامَ دِينَ. That today I have perfected for you your religion and completed my favor upon you and chosen for you Islam, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in the revelation, the Quran, or in the revelation, the Sunnah. So it has been perfected, and there and nothing can be added to it. Al-Imam Malik rahimahullah said that which yani benefited or corrected or was good for the early part of our ummah, it is the only thing that will correct the later part of this ummah. Therefore, that which we found the companions of the Prophet ﷺ upon is the same thing that is good for us today. There's no need for anything new. Also, the saying of the Prophet ﷺ reported in Al-Bukhari and Muslim on the authority of Aisha radiallahu anha, she said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam said, "An ahdatha fi amrina hadha ma laysa minhu fahu rad." That whoever innovates or brings something new into this matter of ours, yani into the deen of Allah, ma laysa minhu, that is not apart from it, fahu raddun, then it will be rejected. Whoever brings something new, even if it appears to our intellect to be good, if it is not founded in the Quran and Sunnah or understanding of Sahaba, fahu raddun, it is rejected. And if anybody claims that we haven't invented anything new, but we found our forefathers, our grandfathers, or our parents doing it, then Aisha radiallahu anha also reported from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that not only the one who initially innovated it, but whoever practices it, he will also have his deeds rejected. And she radiallahu anha said that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Man amila amalan laysa alayhi amruna fahu raddun." That whoever does any deed or any action that is not upon our way, that is founded in the Quran and Sunnah, then it will be rejected. So whether we are inventing something new ourselves or following that which has been invented by those before us, it will not be accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We'll talk about this over and over and over again, the danger of innovation, bid'ah, and the need to follow the Sunnah strictly without bringing anything new. Point number five, that we must submit both inwardly and outwardly to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, not only in our outward appearance, but also inwardly, and not only claiming to have iman in our heart, but also outwardly. Yani the deen of Allah is complete and we have to enter it completely, inwardly and outwardly, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, Surah Al-Baqarah, chapter 2, verse 208, يَا يُهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أُدْخُلُوا فِي السِّلْمِ كَافَّةً. That all you who believe, enter into Islam, into submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, completely, totally. وَلَا تَتَّبِعُوا خُطُوَاتِ الشَّيْطَانِ إِنَّهُ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌ مُبِينٌ. And don't follow the footsteps of Shaytan, for verily, he is an open enemy for you. This ayah makes clear to us that Islam requires of us total submission, entering into Islam perfectly and completely with all that entails. Therefore, one may not oppose anything from the Book of Allah or the authentic Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ by analogy, feeling, personal taste, or any other source, whether the opinions of scholars or others, our Shaykh, our Imam, or anything similar to this. We cannot oppose the Book of Allah, the Quran, or the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ with any opinions or our personal feelings, or that which some of the people who are involved in Tasawwuf Sufism call Kashf, some unveiling or knowledge or information that came to them through other means. We cannot allow these things to be in contradiction or to oppose that which came to us by revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is indicated in the saying of Allah in Surah Al-A'raf, chapter 7, verse 3, اتبعوا ما أنزل إليكم من ربكم You must follow that which has been revealed to you from your Lord. وَلَا تَتَّبِعُوا مِن دُونِهِ أَوْلِيَاءَ And don't follow anything other than that from amongst the awliya. قَلِيلًا مَا تَذَكَّرُونَ Little is it that you remember. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala orders us to follow what has been revealed, that is the Qur'an and authentic sunnah, and not to follow the awliya, the friends or the saints or the whoever we may consider as being awliya of Allah. We should not follow anything except that which is based upon what was revealed to us from our Lord, that is the Qur'an and the way of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Also, of the points that we should keep in mind in the methodology of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah and related to the matters of Aqeedah is that sound reasoning, yani healthy reasoning, is always in agreement with the authentic transmission of revelation. Yani a person whose intellect is not distorted or corrupted, it will never be in contradiction to that which has been reported to us authentically, either the Quran or the Sunnah. No two absolute proofs amongst reason and revelation can contradict one another. When contradiction is supposed, or there's an apparent contradiction between the revelation and our intellect, then we must put revelation first over reasoning or our intellect. The sound, healthy intellect would not contradict the revelation, but if there appears to be a contradiction between what our intellect tells us and what has been given to us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by revelation, then the revelation has to take precedence over whatever we might imagine by our intellect. The examples of those who deviated on this point, those who gave precedence to the intellect over the revelation, are many, and from amongst them is though the man, the scholar from Sudan, who was the leader of the Muslims there and considered to be one of their scholars, the intellectuals, and he said in a public meeting in the University of Khartoum that the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, in which he said that if a fly falls into someone's drink or their vessel or container, that they should dip the whole fly in the container and then throw it out, because in one wing is a poison or a sickness and in the other wing is the antidote. He said that he wouldn't accept this. He would not believe it, because his intellect cannot accept such an idea, and as a doctor told him. Whoever rejects the authentic hadith of the Prophet ﷺ because their intellect doesn't accept it, they have contradicted the methodology or the way of the Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, because we are required to put the revelation above our intellect if there is an apparent contradiction. If our intellect tells us something is unacceptable, but Allah has revealed it to us, or the Prophet ﷺ has informed us, then we reject our intellect and we give priority to the revelation. The Prophet ﷺ is reported to have said an authentic hadith that is recorded by Al-Bukhari. He said, إِذَا وَقَعَ الذُّبَّاب فِي إِنَاءِ أَحَدِكُمْ If a fly falls into the container of any one of you, فَلْيَغْمِسْهُ كُلَّهُ Then you should dip the whole of the fly in that container. ثُمَّ لِيَطْرَحُ Then throw it out. فَإِنَّ فِي إِحْدَى جُنَاهَيْهِ أَوْ جَنَاهَيْهِ دَاءً وَفِي آخِرْ فِي آخَرْ شِفَاءً يعني because in one of its wings is a da, a sickness or a poison, and in the other of its wings is the shifa'a, or the healing or the cure for that sickness. The scientists have discovered today in the medical profession, even amongst the kafirs, they have discovered that in fact these words of the Prophet ﷺ medically have been proven true, that in fact the fly does contain a sickness, some kind of microbe that cause harm to the person, and within the body of the fly also is contained the cure for it. Also in matters of aqidah, it is required to adhere to the wording employed by the Sharia and to avoid all innovative expressions or wordings. Yani, in matters of aqidah, when we discuss the aqidah, we should use the language that has been given to us in the Quran, as Allah explained it or described it, or that which came to us in the authentic sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, and not use language or expression or terminology that are foreign to the Quran and the Sunnah, because these expressions lead people astray and cause confusion in the minds of the people. And a contemporary example of such is one of the American Muslim leaders who described Allah as a divine mind. And a divine mind has not been mentioned as a characteristic of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not in the Quran nor in the authentic Sunnah. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes Himself with those descriptions that are fitting for Him, Al-Hayy Al-Qayyum, the one who has perfect life and who is self-subsisting and upon whom all others subsist. Al-Alim Al-Hakim, the one who is all-knowing and all-wise. Al-Ali Al-Azim, the one who is the Most High and the Supreme. These names that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has described Himself with are sufficient for Him, and they are perfect descriptions, and therefore there is no need for us to employ wordings other than the wording that came in the Quran or in the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. As for any expression that is not clear in its meaning, that doesn't come from the Quran and Sunnah, and it might possibly indicate something that is incorrect or something that is correct, then we inquire about what is intended by this expression from the one who is using it, and if the meaning that they apply to it is a good meaning, then we accept that meaning. But if it is a wrong meaning, then we reject it. In any case, the language that we use in our discussion or expression of aqidah should be the language found in the Quran and the Sunnah. The next point is the infallibility from committing sin or error is affirmed only for the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Yani no one else is infallible from falling into error, but the one who is protected by revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if he makes any error that Allah would correct it, is only the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Muslim Ummah as well as a whole, if they reach a consensus, is also infallible from agreeing upon any deviation, as we mentioned the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that verily Allah would not make my Ummah to reach a consensus or agreement on that which is astray. Therefore, the Muslim Ummah as a whole is infallible from falling into error or deviation, but no individual is infallible except the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Therefore, we should beware of anyone who claims infallibility or claims absolute obedience or following other than the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about him to prove this point in Surah Al-Najm, chapter 53, verse 3 and 4, وَمَا يَنْتِكُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحِي يُوهَىٰ. But he doesn't speak from his own desires. That is, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he doesn't say anything from himself that he makes up or he feels or he desires. إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحِي يُوهَىٰ. It is no more or nothing else except revelation that is revealed. Whatever he says, it is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And those matters concerning which the scholars and others have differed, and where there is difference of opinion amongst the Muslim scholars or the people, then we refer these differences back to the Book of Allah, the Quran, and the authentic Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, while offering an excuse for the errors of those scholars of the Muslim Ummah who exercise ijtihad. Yani the scholars who made ijtihad, if they erred, then we look for excuses for them. We don't blame them. But in terms of knowing what is right and what is wrong, we refer differences back to the Quran and the Sunnah. And this is the minhaj of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah that has been given to us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, when He said, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَطِيعُوا اللَّهَ وَأَطِيعُوا الرَّسُولَ وَأُولِي الْأَمْرِ مِنْكُمْ فَإِنْ تَنَازَعْتُمْ فِي شَيْءٍ فَرُدُّوهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ إِنْ كُنْتُمْ تُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ وَذَلِكَ خَيْرٌ وَأَحْسَنُ تَأْوِيلًا. That, O you who believe, obey Allah and obey the Messenger and those in the party from amongst you. But if you differ, فَإِنْ تَنَازَعْتُمْ فِي شَيْءٍ, if you differ in any matter, then the solution to that difference or the way of resolving it is given to us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَرُدُّوهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَالرَّسُولِ. Then refer it back to Allah, meaning the Book of Allah, the Quran, and the Rasul, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, meaning his Sunnah, if indeed you believe in Allah in the last day. And that is best and most suitable for final determination. And if we have any differences, the solution that Allah has given to us is to refer back to the Quran and the authentic Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The next point is that there are amongst the Muslim Ummah those individuals who were spoken to, yani those whom received inspiration, not revelation, inspiration. Furthermore, the existence of a righteous dream is a reality and is a part of prophethood. Similarly, the existence of al-farasa, or intuitive knowledge of human nature, is a reality. But all of these things, they are accepted only when they are in agreement with the Sharia. However, they are not a source of aqidah, nor are they a source of Sharia. Yani we can accept a person who has a dream, or who has intuitive knowledge of human nature, they are able to identify the character of people just by looking at them or meeting them. It doesn't mean though they may be correct in their deduction or conclusion, and we can accept it if it's in agreement with the Sharia, but we do not accept such sources as a source of aqeedah or a source of sharia. The last couple of points that are very important also is that those matters where they exist an authentic prohibition from delving deeply into them are to be avoided in compliance with that prohibition. As the Prophet ﷺ ordered us to avoid delving deeply into the matter of al-qadr al-qada, the divine decree, yani into the how of it, or into the deeper understanding of why Allah decrees what He decrees or how He decrees it. We may discuss it based on the evidence in Quran and Sunnah, but we shouldn't delve deeply into it. Also, that every innovation in religion is rejected. It is a deviation, and every deviation leads to the hellfire. And this is an important principle in the minhaj, or the methodology of the Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. The proofs concerning this are many, but due to lack of time, inshallah, will suffice. Everyone may refer to the notes from this class for the points which we discussed here quickly. And it is of the utmost importance that these points of the minhaj of the Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah be understood properly and thoroughly. And if there's any question or need for clarification, or if there's any doubt about any point or principle from these points which have been mentioned, then it is open for discussion in the next lecture, inshallah. You may send your questions in writing. We will try to clarify that which is unclear and bring proofs for that which requires proof, and try to eliminate any doubt or any confusion concerning these important matters which are the foundation of our study and our discussion and our understanding of the aqeedah of the Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. The last point that we wanted to discuss is the important or distinguishing qualities or characteristics of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. There's no time to discuss it now, inshallah. In the next lecture we will discuss that, and in the next lecture also we will begin with the book or the essay of Shaykh Muhammad ibn Salih Uthaymeen, the Minhaj of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, and some of the points contained in that book bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. Subhanak Allahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.
Greetings from your brothers of Qatar's Guest Center, a subdivision of the Sheikh Eid bin Muhammad Al Thani Charity Association. Telephone number 486-2390, fax 486-2358. Wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.